Yes, 14.
Srishtir Nama Brahma Rupe Satchidananda Vastuni Abdhavena Divat Sarva Nama Rupa Prasarana.
Srishtihi Nama Brahma Rupe Sat Chit Ananda Vastuni Abdhav Pena Adivat Penadivat Sarva Nama Rupa Prasadana. Srishtihi Nama. Srishtihi means creation. Where we have this little threesome, Srishti, Stiti, Laya. Srishti is the creation. Creation means when the Maya projects into the form of the universe, as we'll see. So Srishti is the creation. Stiti is the sustaining of the creation. So say, for instance, if I ask you to think of an ocean scene, the Srishti is the manifestation of that ocean scene. The Stiti is the maintaining of that ocean scene. The lasting of it, you know, the abiding of the scene. The laya is the resolution. That is, please think of an ocean scene. Hold that for a moment. Resolve it. Srishti, Stiti, Laya. So here, in this verse, Srishtihi Nama, what is called Nama, that which we call Srishti, the creation, Srishtihi Nama, Brahmarupe Satchidananda Vastuni. That which we call Srishti is let me just take it word by word. Srishtihi 1-1, nominative singular. Nama from naman also can be used as an indeclinable. But that which is named, that which is called is Srishti. Brahmarupe in the one whose nature is Brahman. The one whose nature is Brahman. What is that? That's in the locative, right? Locative 7-1. Satchidananda Vastuni. In the Satchidananda Vastu. So here, so that what we call creation is in, is to be found in, is located in, has for its adhishtana, has for its basis, the Satchidananda Vastu. Okay, so. And that Satchidananda Vastu is the nature of Brahman. So here, Rupa means nature. So locative, locative. Let me read the whole verse, and so then I will get into each word for you. So it says, so it gives an example. Abdhav, from Abdi, means in the ocean. 7-1, Abdhav, in the ocean. Penadivat, vat is an indeclinable affix. Vat means like. Like pena. Pena means foam, etc. So in the ocean, you see waves, you see foam and froth. So all of this activity that's going on the surface of the ocean, such as froth and waves and foam and whatnot. So just like the foam, etc., the froth, the foam and the froth, etc., in the ocean, sarva nama rupa prasadana. There is the spreading out, there is the manifestation. Prasadana really means to spread out. But we're saying here in the sense, spreading out is in the sense of manifestation. There is the manifestation. So here, feminine nominative singular to go with Srishti, which is feminine nominative singular, 1-1 feminine, both feminine. There is the manifestation of sarva namarupa, of all names and forms. Sarva means all. So sarva namarupa, all the names and forms, all the namarupas, the manifestation of all the namarupas, that means the manifestation of the entire creation, right? The creation is nothing but, in fact, the manifestation of all the namarupas. Another way of talking about the manifestation of the creation is the Everything that exists within time and space, including time and space. You know? So the way of thinking of that is, if I have an imagination, the imagination contains all variety, many and varied nama-rupas, names and forms, all of which are existing within time and space. Time and space is space itself being considered one of the rupas, one of the forms, only in the sense that it can be differentiated from the space, air, fire, water, earth. So space is differentiated from the air, fire, water, earth. So it's one of the elements of the creation. So when we think of the manifestation of the creation, we think of really everything that exists within time and space, all of the nama rupas that exist within time and space, and also being, as we were talking a little bit before, maya being made of sattva, rajas, and tamas, that which projects in the form of the whole creation, has three qualities. Sattva, that which is reflecting consciousness, like in terms of the jiva, it's going to be your antakarana, the mind and the sense organs. So that sattva aspect that also pervades the entire creation, so that Ishwara, the Vishwasurupa, is known. Also rajas, the whole creation that projects, because rajas, that activity principle, is one of the strands, one of the gunas of maya, the change, that birth and death, that continual change, process of change, is pervasive to the entire creation. And also tamas. So when we say tamas, we really mean nama-rupa. I'm just bringing in the sattva and the rajas here. Okay, so because the whole creation is considered continual motion, and we also recognize, see or seen. So these sattva, rajas, and tamas, and the manifestation of the whole creation, you have that even if you have an imagination, if you have a dream. It's the same thing. There's the manifestation, right, of all nama-rupa, including time and space. There's activity, there's rajas, there's sattva, there's the reflection of consciousness, and there's the stability of the nama-rupa. Right? If we go into this, this is just nothing but motion also. Right? All the molecules and whatnot are in continual motion, but we perceive it in terms of a name and form. Okay? So that allows us to perceive something as solid, that's the influence of tamas. The fact that everything is in motion, including my whole body is enlivened in motion, that is rajas. That human beings and living beings reflect consciousness, that is the sattva element, depending upon whether or not there's a mental facility, some sort of antakarana or mind in a living being, and to whatever degree they have any type of sense organs, there will be the reflection of consciousness, because sattva is the main element, in terms of the mind, the main element of those things. So here, just simply put, it says, Srishti Nama, what we call this creation, is really like foam, it's like foam on the ocean, like foam on the ocean. So let's go like this. Srishti Nama, what we call this creation, is the manifestation, the prasadana of all namarupa. So now I just was fleshing that out, what we mean by namarupa, everything that exists within time and space, the five elements and elementals, you know, the sattva, rajas, and tamas. Also, if we were to really get into it from the standpoint of the Hindu cosmology, this whole creation is not just this physical plane that we're experiencing here. We'd say there are seven planes up and seven planes down, I believe. Is that how many there are? Seven up and seven down. It's a lot, okay? Seven up or more are graduated in orders of subtlety, going down and become more gross, like hell worlds, Naraka, different hell worlds. The jiva, the transmigrating entity, is transmigrating through all of these worlds, depending upon your karma, continually landing back in this bhuloka, in this world here where we are now. In this loka, in this world, the jiva has what we call kartritvam, doership and enjoyership. And this loka, the others are more dreamlike, except for the satya loka. In this loka, I can accrue karma. I have to follow dharma. I'm responsible for my actions. My actions give me certain karma palas that will influence my next birth. And also, it's in this loka, which makes this loka so blessed, so full, is that it's this in this loka, that in this world, that I can gain moksha, that I can gain liberation. The highest loka also, the satya loka, I can also gain liberation. That one's hard to get to. Swamiji says, don't do all of that. All that is way, so much work, you just get knowledge here. It'd be much, much better. You're here now. Don't wait to go to Brahmaloka or to Satyaloka to try to get self-knowledge. When you can get it here, you're here now. You're here now, you have a teacher, you just really go ahead and get to your knowledge. So this is what we mean by the creation. So if I would say it just simply, thinking of all of the lokas, all of the different levels of reality, the different worlds that are available within this creation, just think of it as all the nama-rupas, all of the names and forms, absolutely everything that exists within time and space is called the srishti, the creation. Okay. So now, he defines this creation as the sarva-nama-rupa-prasadana, the manifestation of all name and form. Okay. So that's a simple simple definition that we can chop up in more and more different ways and categorize more and more deeply. But if you just kind of accept what they mean, Srishti is the creation, the manifestation of all names and forms of everything that is. Another way of saying all Namarupa, absolutely everything that is subject to objectification is Sarva Namarupa. Anything that can be objectified is Namarupa. So if we take all that can be objectified, starting from space onwards, we have the entire creation, because by its nature it's objectifiable. So that's what we mean by srishti. Now the next thing. What is the reality? What is the nature of the srishti, of this creation? He says the srishti is abdau penadivat. It is like foam on the ocean. Foam on the ocean. What this means is that we often use the wave ocean as a drishtanta, as an illustration for understanding the relationship of this creation to that which we say is Satchidananda Vastuni, that which is a Satchidananda Brahman. So let me give you the wave ocean example first, then we'll go to that. In the wave ocean, or the foam, if you think of the wave, if you think of the ocean, huge body of water. And that's what the ocean is, water. The ocean can have things in it. It can have fish in it, it can have coral in it, it can have lots of things in it, it can have inner tubes in it also. It can have lots and lots of things in it. But we're just talking about the ocean. We're talking about the water. The water, which has a huge, the entire body of the ocean, the sameshti, the total body of the ocean, right, is what we call ocean. Whereas within that ocean, there are smaller nama-rupas that we would call the vyeshti upadis, the limited upadis. Like, for instance, he uses froth. Now, pain is like froth or foam. That foam is nothing but water. It's not, it has no separate being apart from the ocean, right? The water of the ocean is the water of the froth. Another more common example than froth, I think that Shankara is using froth here because froth is so, ephemeral. And the froth just comes and goes. It just comes and goes. It has really no substance. But whatever substance it does have is only the water of the ocean. It has no separate substance. Similarly, with the example we often use is wave. All of the waves of the ocean, you know, those are all the vyeshti upadis, the limited individuals in the ocean. The ocean is comprised of this wave and this wave and this wave and this wave. Countless waves make up the ocean. Okay? But what is the reality of the wave? What is the substance of the wave? And what is the substance of the ocean? You say, well, what is the wave actually? Actually, what fills the nama-rupa wave? Water. What fills the nama-rupa, the name form? A foam. Water. You know? Froth. Water. Okay. What fills the nama-rupa, the name form? Ocean. Water. Okay. What is it that is really there? Water. Right? So whether I'm talking about the wave, or the froth, or the foam, or the entire ocean, there's only one thing
that is really there. In actuality, there's only one thing that is there, and that is water. But that water appears as waves, and it appears as the ocean. Why do we say appears? Because say you take the ocean, say you take a wave, and you say it's a wave because it has the form of a wave, right? So water, if I were to remove the water from the wave, what would be there? Nothing. If I were to remove the water from the ocean, what would be there? Nothing. So what is really there in terms of substance, in terms of what we call the vastu, the actuality of what is there, the thing that is there, what is the vastu that is there, is only water. But that water is appearing as waves in this ocean, right? There is no wave and there is no ocean separate from the water, right? And so in this case, understanding this drishtanta, this illustration, we would say that the wave or the many, many waves, they have no independent reality separate from the water. They have no being at all separate from the water. In fact, they are only water. Right? The name and form we experience. But what is actually there is water. There's two different, like two categories here. We experience the wave, but what is actually there is water. And so this wave form really is nothing but water and depends solely 100% on water for its being, because really the only thing there is water, but we're experiencing the wave, right? Same thing with the whole ocean. The only thing that is there is water, but we're experiencing the whole ocean, you know, which comprises all of these many waves and currents and whatnot. But all of those things have no existence whatsoever apart from the water. So we're ever able to experience the ocean, to experience the waves, but really the only content there is one non-dual water. It's not like there's a special water for each wave and a special water for the ocean. There is one water, one non-dual water, which is the self of every wave and the self of the whole ocean. It's not that there's a huge, this is where these illustrations break down a little bit, because all illustrations will break down. But we can say that the very water that is the self of the wave is the self of the ocean. The only thing where this particular illustration breaks down is that the water itself exists in time and space. So the ocean has more water than the wave. So that's not going to apply. That part of this illustration is outside of the box of the illustration. Because the self has no time and space. For your being, for conscious being, because you're not an object within time and space, and in fact, the whole srishti comes from you, you can't be located in terms of time and space, or you can't be a size or a shape, can't be a definition of you. You can't say, well, Ishvara means the manifestation of the whole creation is of a huge size, as infinite as the creation, huge, huge expanse of consciousness, because the creation is a huge, huge expanse of time and space. So the conscious being that Ishvara enjoys must be huge, whereas the conscious being that you enjoy must be quite small in reference to the size of Ishvara. That would be false, because time and space itself comes from you. And so your being itself, not being objectifiable, just this me, cannot be qualified by time and space. Time and space doesn't belong to you. Time and space belongs to the creation. Just to really get a feel for this, because it's quite important. If I ask you to have an imagination, right? Here you are sitting here. What if I ask you to have a big imagination? You have an imagination of flying over India, you know? You're in a plane, you're looking out the window, you're flying over India. That's a big imagination. Right? They can have a lot of space. You know, when you look out the plain, you see such a vast, vast expanse of the earth. You know? All of that vast expanse of the earth is existing in your consciousness. It is known, that whole huge vritti is known to you. So now have you expanded to the size of that vritti? You say no, because the vritti in the thought modification in the imagination, the time, the space, and the nama-rupa within the time and space come from the imagination. They belong to the imagination. So when I ask you to think of flying over India and looking at this large expanse, you know, beautiful India, you're looking at this large expanse, and then so then you're having this experience, then I ask you, okay, withdraw the imagination. So you're projecting space and everything with it, you're withdrawing space and everything with it. So you're not within space. You're also not an object. You're not within space. If you are really what we call the substratum, the one from whom the space is projected, you are free of space. So when that's the case, how big are you? No space. You are, you exist. How big are you? It's a totally irrelevant question. How small are you? How big are you? Even in terms of nama-rupa, what color are you? You know? What gender are you? How old are you? All of these things are qualities that can exist within time and space that can be applicable to certain nama-rupas, names and forms within time and space. But for me, no, it's not applicable. And so in terms of this drishtanta, all of this illustration, what it is good for is to show you this one particular thing. The relationship between a form and its substance. A form and its substance, okay? And here, the form, our forms, all the ocean, the waves, the froth, the foam, penadi, that adi means includes everything. So the foam, froth, waves, these are the forms, and the ocean as a whole. Those are the forms. All of the sarvanamas, okay, those are all of the forms. What is the relationship between those forms and its content? The forms are totally dependent for their being on the content. And in fact, there is nothing really there except the content, and yet we experience the form. But the only thing that's really there is the content, is the water. Right? So this relationship actually is pervasive in terms of the relationship between any form and its content. So we have many drishtantas for this, many illustrations for it. One of the most famous illustrations, besides wave ocean, which comes throughout the Shastra, is clay pot. A clay pot, same exact situation. What is the relationship between the pot and the clay? You have to say you experience the pot. The pot is useful, right? But what is its relationship between with the clay, which is its substance? Right? What is the relationship? Can you say that there is clay and a pot? No. In fact, you would say, well, really, there is only clay there, but the clay is appearing as a pot. And that pot is useful within Vyavahara, within empirical reality, that pot is useful. Right? But what is the substance? What is actually there? Is clay. Right? And so here when we're talking about the Srishti, the creation, or the creation being the manifestation of all nama-rupa, name and form, so pot would be the form, the name would be pot. So nama-rupa, pot form, right? The pot and the form. Nama-rupa, name, form. Of the ocean, what would be the nama-rupa? Ocean, right? Ocean is the name, and the form of the ocean is the form. Wave, wave is the name, the form, right? Is the wave form. Those are nama-rupa. So when they say, this Srishti, this creation, is a manifestation of nama-rupa, of name and form. Until we finish this particular verse, up to right now, we have not said anything about the content. It's only saying what we call Srishti What we call the creation is a manifestation of all nama-rupa, of all name and form. Just like the foam in the ocean. Right? The foam in the ocean. Here, the creation, which is a manifestation of all name and form, is what? What is it located in? What is its material cause? So he says, just like foam in an ocean, what we call this creation really exists in Satchit Anandavastu. Now, Sat means being, existence. Chit means consciousness. Ananda means limitlessness, wholeness. The Vastu means a Vastu. When we start out with the meaning of Vastu, it just means simply a thing. This is a Vastu, this is a Vastu, this is a Vastu. Anything, any nama-rupa, anything that we attribute thingness to, that is a Vastu. So I would be like saying, can you bring that Vastu over there? Like, could you bring me that thing? Because I can't think of the name, just bring me that thing. Could you bring me that thing over there? That's a Vastu. But upon analysis of that, if we were to be Vedantins in reference, you say, like say if I said, could you bring me that thing over there? You might say, being a smarty pants, you might say, what thing? I don't see anything here. I don't see anything. There's just a conglomerate of things. Like for instance, if I would say, bring this thing here. What thing? They're the glasses. But these glasses are just a name. Glasses are a name for all of these different parts, you know, like these things that go over your ears and this thing that holds the glass in. And the wood is involved, glass is involved, metal is involved, you know, and then if we break that down, so we have one word. So what I'm saying is we have one word, glasses, the glasses, for all of these things, you know. So really, our whole language is like that. We have all of these words, but they're for many things that are put together and then named as one thing. The Buddha gets a lot of mileage out of this. He says, you know, because it's true. What he's saying is so true. He says, you think there's a self. You think you're a self. He's talking about this body, mind, sense, organs, person. You think you're a self. But you know what? You're just like a chariot. You're like a chariot. A chariot is just a name for the wheels, for all these wheels and axles, you know, and seats, and then the reins and that, you know, the yoke and all of these things that go into making up a chariot. They're all just a number of parts put together that you are calling a chariot. But the chariot is actually made of hundreds and hundreds of parts. So there's really no such thing as a chariot. But he'll say that about you. You think this body, mind, sense organs is a person, right? But actually, this body, mind, sense organs is made of hundreds of different parts that you're just giving this name to. It's got some truth in it. We also say, we don't say that the self is this body, mind, sense organs. We say this is a vehicle that we use, we make use of. But whether it's this body, mind, sense organs, or a chair, or anything in the universe, all we really have there are names of conglomerates. Anything that you have a name for, that we call, this is a Vastu, this is a thing, this is a thing, it's not really a thing. It's a nama. It's a name for a bunch of things that are actually infinitely divisible into smaller and smaller parts, going all the way into an infinite regress. If I start analyzing anything in the creation, you can't get to the bottom of it. You're just going to have a heap of garbage there, you know, that you make into smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. So Swamiji himself he used to say, this is all forms within forms within forms within forms, but that goes into an infinite regress. You'll never get to the end of it. So realizing that really there are no forms, they're just, you can't find a form, you can just find conglomerates of forms. See that? In any type of analysis here. So then he says, let's not do forms within forms anymore. We'll just do names within names within names within names within names within. It still goes into an infinite regress, but you can say, really, names of what? what is actually the vastu. The vastu means thing. But there is no thing here, because everything is a conglomerate and becomes is dissected into smaller and smaller and smaller things. So there's no such thing as the vastu. So then, if we say this is names within names and then within names and with names within names within names, of what? Of what? It has to be of that which itself is not a form, because if it's a form, it's subject again to division. So it has to be within names of that which is itself free of forms. In the end, the vastu cannot be defined as a form, it can only be defined as a substance, as the substance. But that substance can't then be given the name of another nama, another form, right? And so, in this type of analysis, in the end, what is the vastu? What is the vastu really? Is only Brahman, is only conscious being. Conscious being which cannot be objectified, which cannot be divided up, which itself is completely free of nama-rupa, completely free of name and form, but is that what we call upadana-karanam? Don't worry about the Sanskrit, it's just for some students who have it. Upadana-karanam, vivarta upadana-karanam, means Brahman, conscious, the satchitananda Brahman, that satchitananda Brahman, is the material cause, which is vivarta, that material cause of conscious being, which itself goes through no sort of modification to become this creation, and yet is the very self of the creation. It's the very self of the creation. So we say, in the end, the vastu, what we mean by thing, the only thing that is here is Brahman. Because Brahman is the substance that is actually here. And let me just give you an understanding, an example of it. The fact of it. Everything that you're experiencing right now in this room, and everything that you're experiencing through all five sense organs that you're experiencing. One second. Everything that you're experiencing in this room that has nama-rupa, first off, if we just then it's infinitely divisible into smaller and smaller parts. But say I want to know, therefore, what is actually here? What is the actual substance of this room that we're experiencing? Not the nama-rupas that are infinitely divisible into smaller and smaller parts. We would say that which is the common denominator of everything that we experience. That which is exactly the same in everything that we experience. Because now remember, we're talking about the Srishti, what we call the creation. The creation is the manifestation of all nama-rupa. So say now we want to get to the vastu, the thing that is actually here, because you can't get there through nama-rupa, through name and form. It's infinitely divisible, you can't find it. But if this whole manifest creation has come from something, right? That something itself, you know, must be the material cause equally of every experience you have. It must be. If the whole creation has come from that, then that common denominator has to be the common denominator. That material cause has to be the material cause of absolutely everything. The whole creation has come from it. So what is that? We say that, and what is that common denominator? Well, I could say just now, I could say something, tell you something that is the same in every experience we have, and that is existence. It is, the existence is not going to be different. It exists. I exist, you exist, it exists, I am, you are, it is, this thought is, this emotion is, this perception is. I can never have any experience. This meditative state is. You know, this microscopic vritti that I'm looking at, this is. It is absolutely impossible to remove an experience from its being. We don't think of being as a noun. Right? We think of being as just something, like I say the chair is, it's just a copula, something that we use in language. But the fact is, I don't think about that in terms of myself. If I say I am, I exist, I have being, that's not just an empty word, you know? And so this being that I experience also in reference to this body, mind, sense organs, the being that I experience as myself also is not something that I can attribute name and form to. I can't objectify my being, my amness. Look at that amness over there, isn't that interesting? I can't objectify amness, I can't objectify being, I can only be it. And you're all going to say exactly the same thing. Oh yeah, I am, I exist. What does it look like? It's me, I can't objectify it within, as a nama-rupa within time and space. No, it can't, because it doesn't have a form. If it has a form, it's going to be limited and exist within time and space. But there is nothing within time and space that does not enjoy being, including this body-mind-sense organs. And so I have, as this body-mind-sense organs, I have a special window, right, into the nature of being, because I can say, I am an existent being. I can also say, I am a conscious being. I can say that, but is consciousness also a common denominator of every experience I have? Isness, I can say, yeah, it is. It is, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is. There's no exception. What about consciousness? Is that a common denominator for all experience? Say, yes, it is. It is known, 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 it is known. You try to have any experience that is not known. Yeah, well, what about the knower? Am I the knower and then everything is known after me? Well, I would say more like this. I am the conscious being that is not objectifiable, just like my being is not objectifiable. Consciousness, which is the nature of being, is not objectifiable as an object to exist within the creation. I can't say, oh, look at that being running around. Look at that consciousness running around. It's not objectifiable, right? For you or for me. You know? But what is really my experience of conscious being? This is now going back to the previous class. What is my experience of conscious being? Is really the self-evident knownness of me. Knownness. Self-evident. It is self-evident. It is known. I am known. Not as an object, but it's just the shining nature of consciousness. So I can say, I am known without a knower because I am Swaprakasha. I'm self-shining, I am self-evident. That's this me. You know, nobody's lighting me up. So I am known just by my own nature. Is that clear? So I can now, what if I say that? I am known just by my own nature. Now we have this word known. Because of the sattva in the creation that reflects my knownness, this is known, this is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. There is never an experience that is not known. Even the Ishvara Swarupa is known. Everything is known. But the knownness that we're giving to it doesn't belong to it per se. It is its very nature. Just like, what is my very nature? I am conscious being. And so every experience that I have reflects off of this conscious being that I am. Every experience that I have in terms of my body, mind, sense organs, but actually every experience that I have, period. There's no exception. Every experience enjoys conscious being in the form of it is and it is known. The fact that I can say every experience without exception is the ananda. It is the limitlessness of conscious being. There is no place where it is not from the standpoint of the creation. There's no place where it is not. That's the ananta, satyam, jnanam, anantam, the existence, knowledge, limitlessness of my being. Means there's nothing ever within time and space or anywhere that can be free of conscious being. It is limitless. And that limitless nature, from my own standpoint, that limitlessness is what we call ananda, complete fullness, because there is nothing else. And it shines in the mind, you know, as fullness, completeness, happiness, well-being. We have all of these words for it. Words that are, from the standpoint of the mind, really kind of labeling the different vrittis in the mind that are reflecting the wholeness of myself, which we call ananda. So what we say is, this whole creation is a manifestation of name and form, which has for its being the Satchit Ananda, conscious being which is limitless, which is non-dual. So they say Brahmarupa, which is the nature of Brahman. But what Brahman means is the consciousness which is my own self, and I say this Atma, this self that I am. Through the Drishya Viveka, we recognize that this self is conscious being. And that the whole Advaita Vedanta, the vision of the Upanishads, is this. It's the recognition that this conscious being that is me is Brahman. It is infinite. It is the one non-dual conscious being from which the entire creation comes. And so here, this verse is a big verse. So it says, Srishtihi Nama, what we call the creation, that which is the projection, the prasadana, of all nama rupa, of all names and forms. That's what we're calling the creation. That's what we mean by Srishti, Bhagavan's creation. And that creation, like foam in the ocean, really exists in the Satchit Anand, the Brahman. Right? That's the water. Right? The water, just like the relationship between the water and the waves, my own being is the very self of every aspect of this creation that is conceivable. Because everything that has nama rupa, what in the end is its essential nature, is its being. And that being, true for the entire creation, is one Satchit Ananda, conscious being, which is who? You're lucky here, so wonderful to have a name and form to be a person here. Yeah. Because you can recognize the truth of this, that this body, mind, sense organs, everything objectifiable that exists as part of the Srishti, part of the creation, has what for its essential nature? That is pervasive to it, you know, and that its very, very substance is just one conscious being, which is true for absolutely every experience that I have. You try to have an experience away from that, you cannot. Number one. Number two, try to find anything here in this creation in terms of a substance. You cannot, including this body, mind, sense organs. This whole creation that we experience is infinitely divisible into an infinite regress. And so what is its material cause? It's not going to be nama rupa, name and form, which is infinitely divisible into infinite regress. It's going to be what is the shared reality of that whole thing, which is the shared reality of me too. And that is conscious being. What if you say, no, it must be non-existent? Because as we analyze this whole creation, we find out really everything's infinitely divisible. There is no thing here. But at the bottom of that no-thingness is nothing. The bottom of the no-thingness, right? If that is nothing, if that is non-existence, then the no-thingness is not going to be here either. Because at the core of everything is absolute non-existence. Non-existence cannot be a material cause of anything. So if you take the existence out, it's like taking the water out of the wave. You know, the water is something, right? If you take the being out, you take beingness out of the creation, then there is no creation. Say you take the rope out of the snake. There's no snake. You need that adhishtana, what we call the adhishtana, the thing that is actually there, that actually exists, for this to exist, for its effects to exist. You take the adhishtana out, you take what actually is away, then you're going to take away the thing that it depends on for its being. So you take the rope away from the snake is not there. You take the water away from the ocean is not there. You take the pot, the clay away from the pot is not there. If I take existence away from the creation is not there. But because the existence is there, this material cause is such an obvious thing. It is, it is, it is, it is, it is, it is, I am. You cannot ever, ever negate being in any way. Even, and sometimes we do this, imagination. Imagine yourself as non-existence. It's a really wonderful meditation, actually. You imagine that you do not exist. Just imagine non-existence, wiping everything out. It is not there. It doesn't exist. You know what you're left with? Existence. That's what you're left with. Because you can wipe out everything that in fact has no intrinsic existence. Nama-rupa has a dependent existence. It's dependent on consciousness. The concept of non-existence itself is dependent upon consciousness. So you wipe all of these things out except for me, except for existence. So now, I have to tell you this one. So instead of going on to another verse, I'm going to tie this up in a very nice way. The whole Vedanta depends on what we're talking about here. That there is one non-existent, one existent being, Satchit Atma, which is myself, which is the truth of myself, upon which everything else depends for its being. Like the wave depends upon the water. The wave in the ocean depends upon the water. The pot depends upon the clay. The snake depends upon the rope. This whole creation, like that, depends solely, totally upon conscious being. The dependent relationship we call mitya. What has a dependent relationship and depends for its being on something else is what we call mitya. The pot is mitya, right? Because it depends upon the clay for its being. Without the clay, it has no being. So the pot is mitya. It has a dependent reality. See that? The snake is mitya because it has a dependent reality on the snake, on the rope. Without the rope, there's no snake. So the snake is mitya. The waves are mitya. The ocean is mitya. Because if I were to remove the water, there is no ocean. Ocean's nama-rupa, name and form. If I were to remove the water, there is no waves. There is no froth. So these are mitya. They depend upon something else for their being totally. This universe, including this body, mind, sense organs, is mitya. Because it has no being of its own. It depends totally, 100%, on conscious being as its substance. Conscious being itself is what we call satyam. Satyam means that which actually exists in and of itself, that it is independent. It has independent existence, not dependent existence. Independent existence means it didn't come from something, nor does it go into something. You know, like say the clay pot, the pot is born of clay, sustained by clay, resolves into clay. Clay is the satyam in relationship to the pot. Here, this creation comes from me, Srishti, Laya is sustained by, Stiti is sustained by me, Laya resolves into me. I am its satyam. I am satyam because I myself don't come from anything nor do I go anywhere. I am free from time. So I actually exist. I'm not dependent on something for my existence. I am existence itself. That means for me there's no beginning, there's no end, there is no time. And so I am the reality, I am the vivarta upadana karanam, I am the truth, the reality of this entire creation, myself never going through any change because I'm not an object in the creation. So this whole creation enjoys myself. So this Srishti, which we really say is the manifestation of all name and form, right? What we call Srishti, Srishti Hinama, what we call Srishti is the Sarva Nama Rupa Prasadana, It's the manifestation of all names and forms in the whole creation that has for its being one Satchidanand Atma. It's one me who is existence, who am, who is my this being, which is consciousness, which is limitless. So the consciousness that I am is the consciousness that you are, is the consciousness that Ishwara is the consciousness that the universe is. There's only one me. By consciousness, I mean me. This me experience is one me. So now I am me. I have the me experience, me. Not as an object, but just as my very nature. There's only one me experience. There are many minds, one me. If you have a dream, the dream comes. There are many minds, critters and people in the dream, one me. I'm the one self of the whole creation as Ishwara, the Ishwara of the dream. And I am the one self which every part of the dream enjoys. So those living beings that have a sukshma sharira, that have a subtle body, that have sattva, reflect sattva, each one of those has that avarana of the maya, that covering that makes them think, I am the conscious being, I am the conscious being, I am the conscious being, I am the conscious being. But who is really the conscious being? The one me. The one me experience. So this is what is kind of interesting. This me, the me experience, what makes me me, that one me is as though reflected or recognized, reflected by all of these different jivas in the dream, all of these different entities in the dream. They say, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. The I am they're referring to is me. Right? So the self that I am is the self that you are, is the self that Ishwara is. We're not twins. There's only one of us. There's only one me, and this entire creation is an expression of it. And this expression is what we call Srishti, and it has me, the Satchit-Ananda Vastu. Vastu means that which is actually here, right? That is set, that is being, that is consciousness, that is limitlessness, that we call Brahman. The whole Vedanta is you are Brahman. Brahman and Brahman, Brahman, that infinite conscious being, is the non-dual self of the whole creation. Why non-dual? If you look at a clay pot, is there a clay and a pot? No, there's only clay. You experience the pot, but there's no thing pot. There's only clay. Right? If I look at the snake, is there a snake there, free of the rope? So we look at the snake, let's take the snake off the rope, put it here, put it here, and two. No, there's only one rope. Like that, there is only one self in terms of what is actually here. This whole creation that we experience is really nothing, it's nothing but my being, it's nothing but me. So just like in the dream, I'm both the whole and I'm all of the parts, right? So all of the parts, because of avarana, the twofold power of maya, the avarana, that which covers, we'll see in the next verses, that which covers, each individual says, you know, I am me, and you are you, and you are you, and everything is different from everything else. That's the avarana. Until I have self-knowledge, I don't realize that the conscious being I am is the conscious being which is the self of the whole creation. So, that's it.
Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo.